The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. A good Saturday coming up as well. Mick Norton, Andy Holding and Sean Quinn will be live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm for all of the action. Good card at Sandown. Beverley, Chester and Newton Abbott all have good listed races on their cards as well. Evening racing from Market Raisin and Bath, so six meetings to look forward to and six pretty good meetings as well. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action for the first time on the William Hill Racing Podcast, Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How have you been doing? What have you been up to?
I've been busy all week, actually, Mark. Had sort of big meeting at Cheltenham Racecourse the other day to do with the website that I work for here. Some exciting plans in place there. Just the week, the weeks are just flying by. Like, pretty soon we'll be at the showcase, and then pretty soon we'll be at Christmas. I honestly don't know where this year's gone. Last time I looked, it was the festival, and now here we are, so pretty much come to the concluding month of the flat season.
Yes, we'll be jumping again soon, which is. It's unbelievable how quickly it has come round. Yes, only 4 months till Christmas as well, if anybody wants to do the Christmas shopping. Are you more of a jumps fan then? I sense you're into the jumps a little bit more than the flat.
Yeah, I mean, look, as I said, when I was last presenting for you guys, like Ross asked me that question, and I said, well, if I had to describe myself as dual purpose, because obviously I follow the flat and I'm involved in the flat as well. But yeah, the heart is being from Cheltenham. Heart is, of course, in jumping. I must admit, I'm really excited for this winter.
Good. Good news from the jumping front is the new sponsorship for the National. Nearly £1 million on offer this year in the Grand National. I think it makes it the richest chase in the world. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant for Aintree. And it's got all kind of historical tie-ins as well. Obviously, the Crabbies was founded by the late John Hellwood, owner of Ambley House, which, of course, then you link to the late Ginger McCain, who was, of course, Mr. Aintree. I just think Aintree, I mean, it's sort of, you almost think just as the flames are about to be extinguished on the Grand National, they Aintree fights back. And it's, I mean, I'm a massive supporter of the Grand National. I absolutely love the race. Obviously, it's not the race it was, but if you have to take the race in its current form, then brilliant. You know, we'll still have it. And I think it's fantastic. I actually used to work for Aintree a few years ago, and I'm delighted for them. It's great news. I know there's been some sort of criticism to, it's not really a brand that you'd associate, but I think the fact that it is quite a quirky brand, and with the historical tie-ins as well, I don't really have any problem with the sponsor. I think it's good news all round.
Yeah, I think it could work quite well. I mean, they're sponsoring quite a lot of northern racing anyway, and with the tie-ins, the historical tie-ins, as you mentioned, I think it could be good. And then the fact that we had a trouble-free National last year, it could be a good time to start enhancing the reputation of the National again if it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's just saying it's a nice brand, and it sort of can take the National forward in its current form. And the 2013 National was sort of a PR triumph, really, wasn't it? And
yeah.
You know, obviously the first time it was shown on Channel 4, and the fact that everybody did come home safe and sound. And of course Channel 4 did provide that sort of excellent build up to the National, that programme in particular, How to Win the Grand National, I thought was absolutely superb. And I'm delighted for Aintree, and yeah, great stuff.
Okay, I thought you was going to say come dine with me Grand National special then.
I was actually in Aintree, so I missed that quite a lot of the programmes, but everyone was saying how good the How to Win the Grand National programme was. So when I got back, I watched it on 4OD, and yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic.
Good. Let's talk about some of the flat news then. The major story, as we record this on Friday morning, is the fact that James Doyle is now the retained rider for Khalid Abdullah. He's really starting to make a name for himself now, isn't he, James Doyle?
It's fantastic, and it just goes to show, doesn't it, never ever give up. He almost turned his back on racing, And as the Racing Post described it this morning, as he spent some time in the wilderness, which is a fantastic description. I believe he actually enrolled on a plumbing course. And I mean, this is brilliant. I'm delighted for him. He did an interview with Angus McNay with Racing UK on a clip today after Al Kazim, and I was sort of really struck at how kind of well he spoke, how eloquent he was, and how involved he was, and his accurate descriptions of, you know, he described the race to a T, and thought, well, you know, that came off the back of Royal Ascot. He had a fantastic Royal Ascot, didn't he? And yeah, no, delighted for him. It's brilliant to have Cityscape propelled him back into the public limelight. Then, of course, his association with Al Kazim. It's great news.
Yes, his first big ride will be Kingman on Saturday, which we'll come on to later on. So we'll get your thoughts on that. And he's got another big ride, hasn't he, at the weekend? Not in the Khalid Abdullah colours, but he'll be on Resina, won't he, in the morning?
Yes,
so
yeah.
Big weekend ahead for him. So, yeah, interesting. Another story with regards to changes in stables and jockeys and everything is Aga Khan over in Ireland. He's added Dermot Weld to his team over there, trying to avoid the problem that he had this year with John Ox. Obviously, the stable had a bit of a virus. They had a virus, and it's affected the form majorly. And he's trying not to have all his eggs in one basket, so to speak. So if a stable is hit with a virus, it won't affect nearly his entire string in that country, which is a wise move. But you got a feel for John Ox a little bit. It must have been a hard year for him this year.
Yeah. It's been a very, very tough year for him, but I think you can understand the decision. And if I was the Aga Khan, if I'm looking for a trainer to put my horses with in Ireland, then Dermot Weld would be top of the list. Fantastic trainer, we're talking off air there, especially at the Galway Festival. He does have, he's got so many high profile owners, hasn't he? Obviously the Moigler Stud, Hamdan Al Maktoum, and Dr. Ronan Lamb. You know, it's sort of just that the Aga Khan joins that list. I think it's the right choice. And as you said, it's sort of what he's done in France as well, doesn't it? It's very much along those lines, and yeah. it can understand it. But yeah, but these things sort of, you know, life, isn't it? One minute you're up, and the next minute you're down. No doubt at all, Mr. Ox will be back, and yeah.
Yeah, should be good. Should be interesting to watch anyway.
Yeah, I very look forward to it.
Right, I suppose that's pretty much the news stories as we record this on Friday. So let's get stuck into Saturday's racing then. Some fine racing across the country. We've got that great card at Sandown featuring the Solario Stakes. Good racing at Beverley and Chester, and over jumps as well, and at Newton Abbott. So a really good Saturday in prospect.
Yes, it's another one of those sort of Saturdays where you're sort of... You're going to be sitting there flicking channels or sort of focusing one and then sort of going to watch the replays on the laptop. No, it's great. It's great competitive card.
OK, we're going to focus on three of the day's races. The 2:30 at Beverley, which is the Beverley Bullet Sprint Stakes. The 2:40 at Sandown, which is the Solario Stakes. And the big race at Newton Abbott as well, the 3:55 there, the Lord Mildmay Memorial Handicap Chase. So a couple of listed races and a Group 3 to look at, and the first of those is the 2:30 at Beverley. It's the Beverley Bullet Sprint Stakes, which is a listed contest over 5 furlongs, and you've picked a difficult starting point here. It's quite a tricky race, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When I looked at this, I thought, oh my god, this is going to give me a headache, and it did slightly. Two I would be very keen on would obviously be York Glory, which I believe will pretty much go off favourite. Obviously the Wokingham winner, he's got a nice draw, ran okay, and then Unthorpe last week was only sort of 4 1/4 lengths behind Joala, has got a nice draw in draw 4. And the other horse I was very keen on until the draw came out is Massimar. It sort of would be all over him if it wasn't for the draw. He's hampered at Goodwood when he was trying to mount a challenge second in this race last year. Previous Group 2 winner Marco Botti sends him to Beverley, but it is, he's draw 11. You don't want that at Beverley over 5. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you need to be drawn low, don't you?
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Let's go back to York Glory then. Obviously won at Royal Ascot. It was a little bit of a surprise for me when he won at Royal Ascot, but then the draw did for him at Goodwood, didn't it, in the Stewards
Cup? Yeah.
And then a decent enough effort. I mean, that was Group 1 company, wasn't it? Then Unthorpe. Only 4 lengths behind Joala, like you're saying. And this Well, he's down to listed company, so it should, in theory, be easier. So is he definitely the one to beat then for you, York Glory?
He is, but there's a little man that we're not mentioning.
Is he good old Borderless Scott?
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, this would be to see him win this. Obviously, he won the race last. He did win last year, didn't he?
Yes, he
won the race last year. There has been a sort of, when he obviously, Jawala that went on to win the Nunthorpe, he ran okay behind Jawala at York in July. He's in the plum draw and draw one. Like Beverly, I mean, please, it's just, you know, if you keep the faith, which I often do, this would be the result for the heart, but my head is saying, look, points to York Glory.
Yeah. He's on the same mark of 102. He'll run off the same weight. He's in the same stall as last year as well, in stall one. If he's got anywhere near his old ability, then he'd be entitled to get involved. And looking at the betting prediction I've got in front of me, he's quite a big price, you know, 20 to 1. If he gets back to anywhere near his best, then you could see him hitting the frame at that kind of price, couldn't you?
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge price for him, isn't it?
Mm. We haven't got it officially priced up on the website, so don't take my word for it.
Yeah, getting excited. Quickly trying to get that price.
But if you see any double figure prices for him, I can see worse each way bets with a little bit of a warm heart at the same time. So how are you playing then? You're probably going to go, head says York Glory, heart says Borderless Scott. Is there anything else in there that you could see getting involved?
I did have a quick look at Stepper Point, actually. He's got his cheap pieces on again. He's been group placed, and he has got sort of quite a nice draw in stall two. I think the highlights for me are going to be it's York Glory, Massimar. Just would love to, but it's the draw.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be going with the heart with Borderless Scott. I mean, if he's going to come out any of those prices, then that's fantastic value. But York Glory looks to me like the most likely winner, and obviously, you know, Kevin Ryan in good form. Yeah, let's say York Glory.
Okay, York Glory in the 2:30. Then onto the 2:40 at Sandown. The big race there is the Solario Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs, and it's all about Kingman really. Here he's we've got the race priced up. He's 1-2 favourite with us. Music Theory 11-4, 7-1 for Emirates Flyer, and Rosso Corsa is 25-1. Kingman was very impressive on his debut in a new market maiden over 7 furlongs. He's been given quotes of 7-1 with us for the 2000 guineas next year, and whilst John Gosden has tried to play it down a little bit, you can't help but be impressed with that debut, can you?
Yeah, you can. I mean, he was so visually impressive, and he was going well in behind, and so you just wondered if the gap was going to come for him. It did, and yeah, you can't. I can understand the hype, of course you can. And like you say, John Gosden is trying to sort of play it down. He isn't going to have to do much to win this. The only thing is, obviously, every other horse in the forerunner field has got more experience than him. That's my only worry. But from what you've seen, I mean, and also, I mean, his breeding is, I mean, he's a half brother to Remote. He's out of a French Thousand Guineas winner who's a half sister to Oasis Dream. You know, he really is bred in the purple, isn't he?
Mm. Certainly is. Is Music Theory the main danger then? Chasing
yeah.
the trick here?
I mean, she was very impressive at the July course, wasn't it? Sort of not, I mean, just not asked any questions at all. But the one that, I know this is going to sound a little bit mad, but sort of he's coming across as quite a tough 2-year-old is Emirates Flyer.
Yeah.
He's definitely stay a mile. So fifth behind No Nay Never at Ascot. I think he did pretty well to win the condition stakes at Newmarket. Sort of went left and actually then stumbled on the run to the line. Second in the Wingfield stakes at Ascot after that. I don't think Emirates Flyer could beat Kingman from what I've seen so far, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Emirates Flyer finishing second.
Yeah. Okay. Emirates Flyer to follow Kingman home then, and we can't really make too much of a case for Rosso Corsa, can we? So.
No. Again, I mean, very sort of, he's had an awful lot of experience, but just doesn't look to be in the same bracket, really.
Okay, so hopefully we'll see another impressive performance from Kingman, and he can live up to a little bit of this hype. And you'd expect him to win then, and Emirates Fly to chase him home.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, let's go jump in then for the 3:55 at Newton Abbot. This is Lord Milmaid Memorial Handicap Chase, a listed race over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 11 of them in the lineup for this at the moment. And where do you want to start in this one then?
Well, my fancy is Twirling Magnet. I think it's the most likely winner. Obviously, Jonjo's been in superb form this summer on both codes. Sort of, he's mopped up in the Northumberland Plate, the Ascot Stakes, and the Summer Handicap at Uttoxeter. I think the trip was a little bit too far for Twirling Magnet last time out. He previously beat before that Victor Ludorum at Bangor, who then followed up with the win at Worcester. He's got the pieces on, he's got the tongue strap on, but I think that's your most likely winner, to be honest.
Since they put the piece and tongue tie on, improved form at both Bangor and Foss last time, open to plenty of improvement then. So that's probably going to be the favourite, isn't it, Twirling Magnet? Anything in there that's worrying you against the Jonjo?
Yeah, I think Kean's Delight, he's tough, he's consistent, he's a typical sort of Peter Bowen horse, gets on very well with Tom O'Brien. First, he won at Perth over 2.4 miles. He was then third at Newton Abbot, sort of over two miles and a half, and he was staying on. I think this is sort of definitely sort of up his street. But I think I can't get too excited about anything else apart from it. Twirling Magnet will be my bet tomorrow. Obviously, you've got last year's winner in there, Shoegaze. There's been sort of a little, I don't know. He ran over 3.3 miles over hurdles sort of last time out, and obviously I think that was a little bit too far. Obviously, that's going to put him spot on for this.
Yeah.
And the Disengager, I'm not sure he liked his trip to Galway last time.
No, 171 lengths, so I don't think he probably enjoyed that.
I think we can probably sort of put that. I mean, it was practically a swimming pool, wasn't it, at Galway?
Yeah.
I think he likes to hear his hooves rattle as well, so the ground's going to suit. He was fourth in this last year to Shoegazer, but I think he could be a contender if Galway hasn't left his mark.
Yeah, I quite like the Disengager as an each way bet, because he's proven in this kind of listed company, and he's tried his hand at better company than this, hasn't he? So he's got a bit of quality about him, so I think he could get involved, and with the ground back in his favour, like you say, providing that slog over in Galway doesn't have too much an effect on him. I could see him as an each way bet if you can get a decent enough price about him.
Yeah, the other one, I suppose, Life of Aluso. I mean, he won at the Cheltenham April meetings. Obviously, the ground was still quite soft then. He's a course and distance winner at Newton Abbot. It's a trappy little handicap, isn't it? It really is. But yeah, everything to me is pointing to Twirling Magnet.
Okay, so we'll go with Twirling Magnet then in the big race at Newton Abbot as well. Let's have a quick summary if we can, Catherine, before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time for Saturday.
Okay, so in the bullet we'll go head with York Glory, heart with Borderless Scott. If Borderless Scott is, like you say, a double figure price, then that's a cracking each way bet, or even have a reverse exacta. Then I would say in the Solaro, it's Kingman. I quite fancy Emirates Flyer to chase him home. In the what's this race called? Remind me again, Mark. It's the Lord Marmy Memorial Handicap Chase, isn't it?
That's so nice.
It's Twirling Magnet to win, and probably Disengager to chase him home.
Okay, good stuff. Well, it's been a pleasure to speak to you, Catherine, and I understand you'll be back on Racing Radio soon.
I am. I'm back with you on the 24th.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing from you then. Good luck with your selections on Saturday, and I'm sure you'll enjoy Saturday's action.
Thanks, Mark. You too. Be lucky.
So, there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on this weekend's racing. Plenty of good racing to come on Racing Radio. We'll be live from 1:45 PM. Mick Norton, Andy Holding and Sean Quinn will be in the studio. It's Sandown, Beverley, Chester, Newton Abbot, Market Raisin and Bath. A whole host of listed races. There's Group 3s in there as well, and plenty of good racing to look forward to. You'll hear it all on Saturday. Thank you very much for listening to William Hill's Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.